Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor. I'm really pleased to be with you and really pleased to have Dr. Quentin Henning back with me once again. Dr. Henning is well known to regular listeners of the show. He is a geologist of very highly regarded geologist around not only in North America, but I think around the world. Certainly has been involved with major mining companies in the past, but not just a sort of a usual geologist. He's one that also has sort of thinks outside of the box. He thinks creatively more than I would say most of the geologists that I've met up with over the many years that I've been involved in the exploration, mineral exploration business. But the Noble Resources, of course, has been quite a story. Last summer, the stock rose about nearly tenfold in terms of U.S. money anyway. It went from around 70 cents earlier in the year to $7 by September, when a large discovery of a field of nuggets was discovered in northwestern Australia. What makes Noble Resources project so special is the vision of Dr. Henning and regarding how the great Witwaters Rand deposit of South Africa was formed, which led him to northwestern Australia, where a similar geological environment exists. And lo and behold, since he started putting his geological theory to work, some extremely exciting reports have come out of this area of Australia that caused Novo's share price to take off like a rocket last summer. Since then, Novo has drifted lower. It's trading in these days at a $3 or $3.50 range in U.S. money over the past few months anyway. And as investors sort of wait for some bulk samples to come from the assays from bulk samples that are coming from Comet Well and Purdy's Reward, the two target areas that Dr. Henning and Novo are working on. While there have not been any blockbuster assay reports recently to drive the stock higher or to cause any great excitement, that is not to say that some very important knowledge about this project has not been gathered while the market slumbers. In fact, a great deal of information was reported on August 16th, which is what I want to ask Dr. Henning about today, because I believe it may help investors have a better understanding of prospects for their investment. Thanks for joining me again, Dr. Henning.
Certainly, Jay.
You're talking to me from Australia, from Karratha, the area where you're exploring, right?
Correct, yeah. I've been down here for a few weeks watching things on the project. It's been it's always good to be in Australia and see the project close up.
Yeah, it's your winter time down there.
It is, yeah. It's a little bit cooler. I'd say it's, Fahrenheit, we're talking 85, 90 maybe, rather than 150,
yeah.
So it's not bad.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Well, anyway, we were treated to some extremely fascinating assays early on. Some trench samples that were taken from, I think it was Purdy's Reward, something like 87 grams, 46 grams, 10.6, 15.7. These are some of the numbers I'm looking at. From one trench, another one 17.7 grams. Those are the kind of numbers that really fired the market up. But what can you tell us about what's going on down there now? Will we have some assays sometime in the near future that might get the market thinking about Novo again?
Sure, Jay. That's always the first question people are asking. we're not pretending it's taken longer than we anticipated to get samples processed. We are taking much larger samples than we took late last year at Purdy's Reward. So if people will recall, we started taking, say, 300 kilogram samples late last year. We got those processed. Some of the numbers that you just read are from those. And we realized early this year that the sample size was entirely insufficient. We talked to our core gold expert, talked about recommended sample size. He suggested that at minimum 5 tons, so we're now targeting 5 to 10 ton samples. We talked with various laboratories. We looked at various scenarios early in the year about how we could process 5 to 10 ton samples. We even considered putting our own, sample equipment together. This would be crushing and grinding and, concentration components. Mm-hmm. And the conclusion we came to was to work with SGS Labs. SGS is a worldwide analytical company. They're based in Switzerland. And they have a laboratory in Perth. It's a metallurgical laboratory. They had a lot of the equipment in place. We decided to opt with that because of that the equipment was in place. We figured it would take probably 6 to 8 months just to secure it on our own. So, we've been working with them closely. Now, I don't think any of us, SGS or Novo combined, anticipated some of the issues we'd face. The rock was considerably harder than we thought it was going to be. You know, I don't want to belabor things, but it's taken a long time to work out various components of this whole processing system. Mm-hmm. We have gotten a very good handle on things over the past 3 or 4 weeks. I can't remember when the last interview I did was, but things have improved markedly. I've been watching the system develop or the modifications, improvements being made, and it looks like things are coming together nicely now. The crushing component is near capacity. The metal detecting circuit, for example, looks like it's close to capacity. There have been some delays with weather there, even though they built canopy over the thing, for probably 3 or 4 weeks from early, maybe the second week in July up until the first week in August. It was absolutely pouring rain here in Perth, mm-hmm. and sideways. You know, and of course, most of this equipment is, you know, it's not entirely inside of a building, so uh-huh. it makes it difficult. But, the things are improving right now are the concentration unit. So this would be the gravity concentration circuit, including Falcon. They're putting a second Falcon in so they can increase capacity there. And then they've got the assay stream that they're working on. Mm-hmm. They've reduced the overall number of assays, and we have a more streamlined process at this point. So things are turning around, but I have indicated before that we are going to wait until we have enough assays out of the various reefs and areas that we've talked about in news releases over the past few weeks. We really want to put a clear picture in front of people of assays for the Commonwealth property and not just come out with one or two assays here and there. So it'll be another little while, maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks, something like that, but we will have some assays to put in front of people that allow us to talk meaningfully about the geology that and the grades behind it that we've shown people recently. So the news release that you mentioned was issued late last week, and really what we're trying to do there is give people a very clear picture of some of the things we're seeing on site. The news release specifically talks about the continuity of the conglomerates and how we are now discovering a relation between the conglomerates at Comet Well and with those we saw last year at Purdy's. Mm-hmm. With that, I'll let you ask questions, or I can ramble on if you want.
Well, I think just one thing. I was under the impression, getting back to the assaying of your bulk samples, that the rock wasn't going to be all that hard. So what you're saying is it's a harder rock, so it's a harder, more expensive crushing aspect to this project than you might have anticipated early on?
Well, the lower conglomerate in particular, this would be what we call the lower cannibal conglomerate, is particularly uh-huh. hard. Uh-huh. And what resulted from that is the crushers they had at SGS, they simply couldn't cut it. So we tried putting trying to find little crushers is not necessarily easy, but they
sure.
secured, some new crushers. One of them worked, one of them didn't work. They had to get yet another one that was a little beefier. And each time they did this, they had to reinstall the crushers in the yard. And the yard is small. They had to, they have a lot of clients, with jobs there. So they kind of had to crawl all over stuff to get these things put in. And those were what caused most of the delay. It was just simply the logistics of getting these crushers in. But like I said, we're not belaboring that. We're past that now.
And, sure. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I understand too that you want to get enough assays from the area that you're working on, not to skew the picture in one direction or the other. Right. You want to have as much accuracy as possible, so the market doesn't go crazy or get overly depressed or whatever. You want to get accurate information out there. And so those early assays were extremely exciting. They drove the stock up, and who's to say what the assay is, what the average will be, but that's what we're, of course, waiting for. And if I heard you right, you said maybe in 2 to 4 weeks we might get some information in that regard.
That's right. Look, when we presented the numbers that you talked about, that was in February of this year, and those were really the first time we were able to talk specifically about the goal, that the range of assays we were seeing, you know, things like that. We want to have something similar to talk about it at Comet Well so that people fully understand what we're seeing.
Okay, now with respect to your 16th August news release, you talked about two gold-bearing conglomerates. Do both of those conglomerates extend from Purdy's Reward on the northeast to Comet Well in the southwest, to the southwest?
Yes, so what we're seeing is that as we go from Comet Well, where we started exploring in February this year, there's two well-developed gold-bearing reefs. There's one at the base of the whole conglomerate sequence, and then there's another one about 15 meters or so above that. We found these two reefs, you know, partly through the prospecting that was done by prospectors looking for metal detectors last year. You could see the dig holes and stuff. But a lot of it was done, you know, through very careful excavation. We were a little different how we approached trenching this year. Rather than opening up deep channels in the ground, we actually kind of cleared the area very gently. We blew, you know, dug up the soil and blew away any loose rock and stuff and exposed bedrock. And it allowed us to see things much better. So we, you know, we got down on our hands and knees, and, you know, it sounds easy to find these things, but when you're talking about hill slopes that are 150 meters long, yeah, and you got to dig through the soil and actually examine them close up, it takes a little while. But we were able to identify discern each reef, and what's really important is we found a marking unit with the upper reef in particular that is closely associated with it. So it's a tufaceous horizon. This is ash that came out of a volcano. At the time, sediment was being laid down. Mm-hmm. And that little layer is very distinct. So I'm telling you, it's a testimony to the geology of the team here. Mm-hmm. They have been able to find this little tiny layer. It's about maybe, you know, a foot thick. It's a very thin little mm-hmm. thing. And they were able to follow it along surface. And when they see it now, they're able to clear things away, dig down, and, you know, remarkably, they're able to hit the gold-bearing conglomerate associated with it. So it's really exciting in my view. That's part of the message I wanted to convey in the news release. Mm-hmm. But then what we found is that the reef, that particular layer, as it extends northeastward, mm-hmm. The basement underneath starts rising up gradually, and we found that layer effectively is the same conglomerate that we saw at Purdy's Reward last year. So we're seeing continuity over about 3.5 kilometers at this point in that particular unit. The bottom one, as it trends northeastward, it pinches up against the basement, so it's not present at Purdy's Reward.
Okay.
But it's remarkable that the upper one we can follow very easily now, because that one we now are readily able to see, and now thinking about the areas we can, say, do large-scale bulk sampling in the future. These are ones we've talked about, you know, in terms of a trial mining phase.
Mm-hmm. All right, and with regard to that, can you talk a little bit about the objective of your exploration work this year? I believe you need to get over a hurdle so you can actually do some mining, bulk mining, or terminology.
Yes, Jay. So it's very critical that we get some bulk sample results that'll help us support what's called a mineral resource report.
Mm-hmm.
A mineralization report, not a resource, a mineralization report. A mineralization report is it's one component of what's needed to convert an exploration license, which is, you know, we're working on exploration licenses, into what's called a mining lease. The process involves, you know, telling the government here in Western Australia that we have a body of rock that is mineralized. It doesn't have to demonstrate economics and so forth, but it has to show that we have, you know, a body of rock that we think we can demonstrate the top and the bottom and the extent to, and say it looks like it's running X, Y, Z gram, you know, across strike of X kilometers. And then once we submit that, we also have to have components of a native title agreement, a native title agreement with a mining component. And we also have to have some levels of permitting that are required to undertake mining or trial mining. So we're working on all of those at this point. I'd say as an exploration company, it's kind of exceptional. We've got a very good team in place to handle all aspects of these processes. And we're really moving this forward as though we're going to go mining. You know, trial mining is a start, but it's not your typical project by any stretch. This is not a drill it, assay it, you know, put a resource together, et cetera, et cetera. This is going to be try to get enough data to put a mineralization report, then go try it out.
Yeah, it is, to say the least, a very unusual project. I mean, that's an understatement for sure. You would know better than anyone about that because you've been on traditional projects. It is a bit frustrating, of course, those of us who are used to seeing systematic drilling going on and a resource quickly calculated. That's not the way. I mean, you just really had to learn how to handle this and how to explore and how to assay it and so forth. I know that you have staked a huge amount of ground there in Australia, most of which is not where you're currently focused. It's down dip into the ancient shallow sea basin. As a geologist, a petroleum geologist who's had a lot of experience in conglomerates, who has a big position in Novo, who's very, very bullish, and he said, and I quote, he says, today's news, referring to the 16th of August, he says, today's news release is important in that the depositional system Novo is exploring is open-ended on each end of this current trend. I believe at the end of the day, years from now, this area will be a tiny portion of a basin-wide nearshore environment, hundreds of kilometers, he puts in parentheses, and some distance down dip from this point, nearshore, and around into the basin. The energy will have abated and the source of gold will become more disseminated as finer gold sourced from a gold precipitation event, as you've talked about in the past, Quentin. This sounds a little bit like what you've sort of envisioned in the past. This fellow goes on to say, and he dreams of some very extremely bullish numbers that I think I don't want to talk about now. And so this was on a bull board, and I know people should take bull board messages with a large grain of salt. You think this guy's smoking something funny, or are his dreams valid as far as you're concerned?
Okay, well, look, I don't want to sound crazy.
Promotional or crazy,
look,
right?
Promotional. But here's I think, the context I would put around those statements. First of all, the area that we are exploring at Comet Well in Purdy's is roughly 8 kilometers of strike on this basal kilometer sequence. What's really important for people to understand is it is a small area out of the Pilbara. The Pilbara region is about 650 kilometers east-west. It's a very long strike length of the Fortescue Group. So he is right. We're exploring a very small area. There have been numerous discoveries of gold, you know, in the past 18 months in this region. You know, for example, east of us, there are some discoveries with the little companies like De Grey and others that have identified basically these same strata, these same units. And what's really exciting, Jay, is that we can, now that we've seen this, like this tuff horizon at Comet Well, we actually can say, wow, they have a tuffish horizon over at Egina or at De Grey's ground. And we have taken that knowledge and gone out and now looked in new areas because it is cooler this time of year. We can get out and do some exploration. It's one very important component to what we're doing. And I would say in a few weeks we'll be able to tell the world about some really exciting things that will help support the notion that this is a basin-wide system. Morindi, for example. Morindi has gold and conglomerate down at the Bellary Dome, which is about 180 kilometers due south of Comet. Well, you step back and think about that, and, you know, it's not, we don't think it's just a fluke. We're not saying that the whole thing is, you know, universally mineralized at economic levels or things like that.
Sure.
But what we're saying is that we see gold occurrences in the same stratigraphic position in multiple locations. They all have very similar appearance in many respects. You know, these are water-worn nuggets, but as we've talked about, there's a halo effect around the nuggets, a fine-grained gold halo. That gold halo, it does indeed appear to be a precipitation event. We've talked about that recently at a technical conference here in Australia called the AIG back in early August. So, yeah, we're starting to put that kind of a picture together. But, you know, we've got to temper it with reality, too, you know.
Of course. Yeah. Of course, you know, Dr. Henning, you are a scientist, and you get excited about your story, but at the same time, you keep your feet on the ground. We're very thankful. We're out of time. It just has gone too fast. There's a lot more questions I had for you. Hope we can have you back again sometime in the near future. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jay.